Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid sponsored by Gaper.io. Today we have Tamela. Tamela is the head of partnership, head of events at ManyChat. Tamela, welcome to the show.
Hi, welcome.
So can you give us a brief background about yourself, what you've been doing prior to joining ManyChat?
Sure. So prior to ManyChat, I've been producing tech conferences and events in the Bay Area. Right before ManyChat, I was working for a company named Hustle, where I led their event marketing team. We were in the advocacy peer-to-peer texting space. And so I built out the event program there. We sponsored Dreamforce through our own user conference. And prior to that, I was at Google, running the partner event program for the SMB team. And I've just been very heavy in the B2B event marketing space in the past decade, seen it change a lot, seen it evolve. So yeah, that's a little bit about me.
And how's the experience been at ManyChat so far?
You know, ManyChat is still very much just, I mean, it's a startup in a lot of ways, but what I really like about the company is the product side. Like, the people really love their product. It's an SMB product for text messenger marketing. So you can pretty much use Facebook, your Facebook ad account, to send out millions of messages in different flows. And so running events at ManyChat, you know, has just been like a huge journey. We have a big annual user conference, Conversations, which I ran a couple of years. And then this year we had to take everything virtual and within like a couple months. So it's been a very wild ride this 2020.
Yeah, it's been crazy. So, you know, transitioning from in-person conferences to the virtual ones, yes, everyone moved towards that, but based on your learnings, do you think will the world prefer to stick with online conferences, or would individuals want to go for in-person conferences?
You know, there were a lot of things that we discovered about throwing a virtual event that I think we're going to want to keep for 2021. You know, the first thing I noticed was the audience changed. So we were able to put on a really high quality content event online, and for it to be more affordable and exclusive to international communities. So we had over 110 countries represented throughout the event, which was really cool. We've kind of heard from our international customers that coming to events in these states is pretty hard with visas and travel and hotels. It's just like thousands of dollars for them. And so we saw a really huge spike in international attendees who were really excited to get access to this premium content in the chat marketing space and to help grow their businesses with our platform. Another one obvious was just cost, right? Like, the virtual event, we pre-recorded a lot of the main stage sessions in a studio in LA in 3 days. And the cost was about a fraction of what we usually put on for a physical event. With physical events, you know, there's a lot of obsolete costs like hotel, food and beverage, venue rentals, that it really doesn't matter if you're putting this on for 500 people or 1,000 people, it gets into like millions of dollars in cost. And so the beautiful part about virtual events is the scalability. You know, you can have 100 million people tuning in to one event, and really doesn't cost the team that much more to have those people online. I think the third one was also, we did a lot of kind of like virtual interactive pieces. And that was something that was very surprising, because I've heard a lot of complaints that virtual events are boring. They're just a wall of content, people tune out. But at our event, we had higher and higher engagement each day. We had like 20-30% people more joining, staying on longer. And it's because we added a lot of like gamification to the event, We started the day with yoga every morning. We had Zoom parties where you can bring your pets and change your backgrounds. We had birds of feather where we would bring people into really, really small, tiny, small niche group networking zones and have them break out and then have moderators who would ask them questions about their business. So there's a lot of ways to make virtual events feel like real events, but you just have to kind of build it into the format. As far as the future of events, like we're definitely like want to do our physical event, like no matter what. I don't think physical events are ever going to go away, especially like just the level of connection and memories and, you know, shaking someone's hand, meeting someone at the coffee lounge. That will never go away. I think people value physical events more now. And I see them becoming maybe smaller and always having this hybrid virtual component that would make it a little bit more inclusive to other audiences that can't physically be there. And there's a lot of technology that's coming out to kind of help create this hybrid event model that I definitely see kind of the future. Like after you put on, you know, 50,000 virtual event, it's really hard to go back to putting on, you know, 5,000 person event and for it to feel the same. So I think it's going to be somewhere in the middle.
Got it. Makes sense. That's interesting. And do you see the role of AR or VR picking pace in the virtual event space?
I, to be very frank, think they're kind of fads, especially VR, you know, the headset, like, I don't know if you've ever worn it for more than 20 minutes. Like I get headaches from holding, like there's just so heavy equipment. So maybe when it like becomes really small or whatever, you know, it's a cost barrier to cost for a lot of people. Especially if you go outside of like the kind of tech bubble spaces like Bay Area or something. AR, I think there's some really cool things to do, but events have already done a lot of AR stuff on site, like for physical events. So like AR actually makes more sense when you're in a large room and there's projection mapping and you get the sense like you're like traveling through space. It doesn't really translate that well into a smaller screen. So I don't really see those trends as like to me, those are very like nice to have, so like cool new tech. What I see is more networking, getting people into like the content portion, really like becoming more like TV production style. I see companies starting to incorporate a lot more training modules and like really building in more complex sales funnels and marketing funnels to their events because you can do that throwing it online. So.
Got it, makes sense. So in regards to, you know, the breakout rooms and everything, you know, so everyone has been trying to go with the right fit or the right number for those breakout sessions rooms. So have you identified those numbers that you can share with the listeners?
So we held, we call them birds of feather, and we had about five of them. Next time I'm going to do it, I'll probably going to have it multiple times in the day. Like I'm going to do a morning one, an afternoon one, and then evening, like right in the focus. Cause like people really, really love them. And we maxed out those rooms at 40, 50. Like there was at any point, no more than 50 people on there. If you know, there's two ways to do this. Like 40, 50 is a perfectly fine room. It's a little big, but usually there's not people there the whole time. So you have to really think about it as like 20, 30 people that are actually online. And then having a moderator is very important. Don't just have rooms that are like, oh, this is the developer zone and there's not a developer there running the discussion, kind of answering questions. Like we had attendees who asked us, hey, can we have a recording of the birds of the feather? Because what the moderator developer was saying was so valuable. They were like, I really like, missed that portion. So like having a moderator, having it, keeping it under 50 for like a large enough of a community or a topic. We had one around language. So we had one in Spanish. So we had a Spanish speaking birds of feather. We had one that was just for our agencies who were people who were reselling ManyChat to their customers. So they had their whole little corner We had one for developers, and then we had one for newbies. So like having someone who's like never, like just started with ManyChat or like doesn't really know how to get started, we had like a whole newbie zone for them. And then another way you can do it is by like speed networking. And that's like three or less people or even two people. And there's apps out there that like let you kind of do that like 3 minute meet people. I find that just like good for networking, but a lot of times, especially if it's a business conference, people have business needs that they go into these events trying to solve. So whether it's, how do I make money on this platform? How do I get started? How do I get onboarded? How do I meet like a developer, blah, blah, blah. So like the event should have areas and zones that help meet people's business needs in a large enough group where they are able to share information, exchange, network, and that for that magic to actually happen.
Got it. So which brings me to my last question, Tamela, in regards to, personal productivity hacks in today's remote world. You know, what three practices have you, or what three changes you've brought to your life that are helping you to be more productive?
Sure. So I live on Asana. I love Asana. I have a backlog board where all my things that I need to work on, different projects, different teams, everything goes there. So I organize my life by Asana, and our team actually does these 2 week sprints where we record videos and talk about what we've done the last 2 weeks and what we're going to be working on based on our Asana board. So I highly recommend teams that are not using Asana or another like planning platform, like just incorporate that into your life, let it lead your remote day. I start my mornings with 30 minute yoga every day before I even like have coffee. I found this lady on YouTube. Her name is Yoga with Adrienne, and she's great. It's 30 minutes, start your day, like do some breath work or like really like center. Like I used to just like roll out of bed and start answering emails. So the next thing I find out, it's like 7 p.m. and I've just like been on Zoom for 6, 7, 8, 9 hours. And I was getting really burnt out. Like Zoom fatigue is real. like take breaks, put it in your calendar. Really when the pandemic, when it first started, like transitioning from an office where there was a natural break, like getting to the office, the commute, taking a lunch break, taking a coffee break, like all of that kind of disappeared. So you have to build it into your schedule. Like you really have to like block out times where you say like, I'm not going to answer emails. I'm going to put Slack on snooze after 6 p.m. I'm not available at this time. Taking vacations, also highly recommend. It's really hard to take vacations when you're working from home, but like actually turning things off and not being available has been really helpful for me.
Yeah. Tamela, thank you so much for being on the show. Take care of yourself, stay safe, and thank you so much again.
Thank you.